Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, as I usually do. We are not going on the usual night. This week, it's not my fault, though. Carlos has something to attend. He said, I don't know, somebody's birthday or something. It was special as far as I'm aware. I'm not sure about all this. But Carlos, what do you have to say for yourself this week?
Well, nothing. I'm not apologizing. No, James, we're good. It's a Monday evening, a little different than normal. Usually we're, Tuesday, roughly around 5 p.m. But we have a fun game to talk about. So regardless of when we're going, we have a game to talk about. It was a positive result, I think. The Lightning won yesterday in a big playoff game to keep our hopes alive in the playoffs. So that was nice.
And
generally a good weekend for Tampa Bay sports, with the exception of the Sun, who I saw dropped their game towards the end of the match over in downtown Tampa. Mm-hmm. So other than that, we move. I think we have another good opportunity this week, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited. How are you doing, James? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Yes, I went to the Rowdies game instead of the Sun game, so I got to experience the positive side of Tampa Bay soccer this past weekend, I suppose. But we'll get into that here shortly, and hope that the Sun can get a couple of good results before the end of the season, I suppose. But yes, this past Saturday, the Rowdies beat Sarasota Paradise 2-0 in what we can call a local derby, even though I don't know if that's quite there yet. Maybe we need a couple more iterations of this fixture
in due time.
That's what I'll leave it as for now. But the Rowdies have another chance to host this weekend against Indy 11. So stay tuned. We'll obviously talk about that as well, and we will hopefully get a little bit better of an idea what the Rowdies could be looking at when we play Indy this upcoming weekend. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube or any major podcast platform. And, of course, please follow RBLR Sports on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. You can also follow the Rowdies, the Sun, the Lightning, all the individual channels if that is what you would like to do, and keep track of where things are there. Carlos, I will get us going with the quick recap, and then we can jump into the questions here.
Let's do it.
Jamali Waite started in net. The defense in front of him was Alex Rodriguez, Brian Schaefer, Nathan Dos Santos, and Charlie Ostrom. Only that one change, Alex Rodriguez in the right back spot. Lewis Hilton, Pedro Dolabella, Luis Perez, Mateus Oliveira, and Evan Conway in the midfield. Quite a few changes there, obviously. And up top was Carson Henderlong. So Sarasota started well. They couldn't really maintain that. I spoke to Coach Dominic Casciato after the game, and he said that they had adjusted the way that they were lining up. Apparently, Sarasota had a player that was, or at least a player, probably more than one, depending on the situation. But somebody who was stepping in between the lines where the Rowdies had not expected them to be. So they just adjusted that and kind of cut off the angles there. And then the Rowdies, I think, really took over this game afterwards. Carson Henderlong got the double on this one. And he comes off looking really, really good. We don't have updated standings just because it's the USL Prinks Tires Cup. There is a standings for this. We're still technically in the group stage, but, you know, the Rowdies won 3-0. So that's kind of all we need to know right now. I think when we get to the next game, we can. It's too early to be like, "Ah, oh, the Rowdies are leading their lead, or they're leading their group." So we'll just give it a second and get to that. Yeah. Our own standings, though, we can go through that really quickly. Eureka somehow has found a crystal ball in all of his moves and travels recently. He has found a crystal ball that is giving him perfect Rowdy scores. He has got another 3 points this past weekend. So congratulations to Eureka. He sits in the lead on 12 points. Well done. Connor, our writer, has 8. Carlos with me has 7. I have 6. And Parker, our other writer, has 5. I meant to say 5. But anyway, he has 5. So we're all pretty close, except for Eureka, who seems to be pulling away from the pack and doing well for himself. Again, congratulations to him. Don't worry.
We'll catch up. It's early.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, with all that out of the way, Carlos, I wanted to talk about Sarasota, and I wanted to get your opinion on this one and kind of go through it a little bit more. It was difficult to gauge just because it was a cup game, and so there were a couple of changes. To be fair, Coach Casciato said that everybody had earned their place in the starting 11. I don't doubt that. I don't think that Alex Rodriguez has not been playing well in training. I don't think that Luis Perez has not been doing well in training. Mateus Oliveira has, I think, two assists on this, or at least one assist and a couple other goal involvements on the season. So, you know, everybody has earned their way into the starting 11. We'll just see if it stays that way next week in a league game is the way.
Some earned rotation, let's say.
Yes, right? That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
It's always a little unfair, or like maybe crude sounding ones like the backups, right? Or like bench guys. So to Dom's point, totally believe him, right? It's not like we're there being like, actually, Alex Rodriguez looked awful at training.
No,
like,
of course not. Yeah.
I totally believe him. Like, I buy that. I'm sure the guys that got on the field definitely earned their spot. But a couple names that we probably won't see regularly getting starts during the regular season, which is great. Like, that's why I like these cup games. That's why, like, broadly, that's why I like that we're in some sort of extra tournament. That's not the Open Cup, unfortunately. But we have something, right? Apart from it being another trophy to chase, it's a great opportunity to get some other guys on the field, see what they can offer. There's one guy in particular who I think really stood out, obviously, with his goals, who hasn't been a starter yet, but maybe that's a guy who we could see getting more minutes in a really crowded attacking room after this performance, but we'll see. Not to interrupt your lead into this, James, but I assume the question was going to overall thoughts on the game, right? Initial reactions.
Yeah, I wanted to get your initial reactions, and I also wanted to get your take on, we'll turn back to this in a little bit, but like I said, Coach Casciato mentioned that Sarasota had started well, and then the Rowdies adjusted. So I also wanted to get your take once we got there on what you saw from Sarasota to start this game, and then how the Rowdies helped themselves more on the field to really take over everything and kind of make it one-way traffic, especially in the second half.
Yeah, it was interesting. The numbers by the end of the game were obviously super in favor of the Rowdies. If you didn't know the scoreline, you look at the 26 shots, 13 on target, 34 touches in the opponent box, 5 big chances, you probably think it's like a 4-5 win. Not probably, maybe at least 3-0 win. And that's probably what it should have been, right? Overall, there's a ton of chances, maybe like a little bit more clinical finishing, and you probably have at least one more, because there was plenty of chances. FotMob says 5 big chances. I couldn't tell you exactly which ones those are. It also says they hit the woodwork twice. I recall once. I don't know about the second time. So take these numbers, I guess, with a slight grain of salt. But either way, to the point about Sarasota starting pretty okay, they did, actually. I mean, they weren't producing a ton of offense in either half, but they were solid enough in the first half to where they weren't really getting overwhelmed until kind of the second portion of the first half, right? The second half of the first half, right? They were sat pretty comfortable. Like, they looked pretty professional for a little bit. I personally did not have high expectations for this team because of where they are in League One. Like we said, there's probably not a huge talent gap on average between League One and the Championship. But given where the Rowdies are in the Championship towards the top and where Sarasota is in League One towards the bottom, there probably is a rather noticeable gap. And by like the 20th, 30th minute mark, like there was, right? And it took maybe a little bit of time for the Rowdies to settle in. And I would attribute that maybe to the rotation, right? To the earned rotation, like I called it. Some guys getting more minutes than they would have normally gotten. But by the time we got comfortable, we took off, and it felt like the guys on the field were starting 11 guys through and through. It was a pretty good split, right? Like Jamali, I didn't expect to get a start, right? I thought this would be an Austin Pack game. But Jamali is a starter. Schaefer is a starter. DeSanto is a starter. Ostrom is probably has been a starter. Dolabella, Hilton on and off, Conway. So six out of the 11 guys here are six out of the 10 outfield guys are regular starters. So it's not like there's a ton of rotation, but enough to where I think it could maybe cause you to need a few minutes to settle in.
I think that's fair to point out as well.
Yeah, especially in the midfield, right? But by the end of this game, I loved how Mateus Oliveira plays. He's really just calm on the ball, and it's really like it's fun to watch as a fan. The way he plays the game, he settled in nicely. Obviously, Hunter Long gets the two goals. That first one in the first half was really lovely. I thought it would open kind of like a succession of like maybe back-to-back goals. It's just kind of how the momentum was swinging by that point in the game. When he finally got that first goal, the Rowdies were like built the possession, the chances were starting to fall, and it felt like there might be one or two more in that first half by itself. The goal itself is it's nice enough. It's off the shot, takes the rebound. Hunter Long's there in the right place at the right time. Striker mentality, puts it away. One of the only like criticisms maybe you'll have all game of the Sarasota keeper, who had a really, really good game otherwise and made a number of impressive saves. He had 11 saves in this game. When's the last time you remember a keeper having that many saves in the soccer game, right? That's almost like a hockey number. It's crazy. And still conceded two goals, right? So after that, he was pretty much money, except for the second goal where Hunter Long scored just a lovely, lovely finish to the near post, driven on the ground. Nothing really you can do about that. Overall, I think the story of the game is a Rowdy's domination, dominant performance, all the numbers back it up. Like I said to you before we started going live, dominant on every number that's tracked as a stat except the goals, right? 2-0 doesn't feel like on the score line like a dominating victory. 3-0 and you're kind of in blowout territory, right? I would have liked at least one more in this game. It felt like we deserved it. But am I going to knock the guys for not winning by 6 goals or something? Not really. Like a 1-0 win, like that we're barely squeaking by this team, like maybe. But it's like the manner in which this 2-0 win came about, I'm pretty comfortable, right? I think that's important too. It's not like Sarasota had a chance even. Like they had one look that was kind of chaotic that we just got sleepy on, and it kind of ricocheted into the post. But like after that, there wasn't really anything they created. They started getting tired. Rowdies were very much the side that had the talent advantage. And then you come in with that like line change of substitutes in the second half, just to kind of reaffirm like who's the better team here. I'm trying to remember who came in all at the same time, but I know MD Myers is one of them. I think Mika Leto came in. We have the light.
Cicerone also came in, I think, around that time.
Yeah. I want to say it was Mika Leto, Myers, and Cicerone, but I'm trying to remember. I think that was the three that came in at the same time. So my point is I wasn't really ever concerned. Like, maybe a little bit in the first, I don't know. No, not even. I was going to say maybe in the first 20 minutes I would have liked the goal, but, like, no, it's fine. Like, it can take 25, 30 minutes, and then the blowout can start, right? It was dominant, and it's what I think we needed. It was fine, you know, professional win, right? It's what you needed to do, and got some guys some minutes. Carson Hunter Long looked really good, and he was active the whole game. He was moving. He was dropping a little bit, making runs. Like, he's such an insanely good talent, but this Rowdy's attack is just incredibly loaded, right? It's going to be hard for him to find a ton of minutes with MD Myers around. And Conway also, but he's kind of been more on the wing recently, right? But I think after this game, you got to start considering maybe splitting a little bit more time, because he looked really, really good. And yeah, he's probably earned more than just like the 1 minute he's gotten off the bench in the last 5-6 games, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a storyline, James. I'll leave it there for now. I think that's my initial kind of summary of where this game went. You were actually there. You were also at Sarasota's game on Wednesday. So I'm curious what your impression was of going into this game. Like, did that game on Wednesday, their league game against I think it was Corpus Christi, right? Did that kind of, did Saturday reaffirm what you expected and what you saw on Wednesday?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it should be noted that Sarasota and Corpus Christi played each other when they were towards the bottom of the table. I think, so there are 17 teams in League One. I think 15 was Sarasota. I don't remember 16, and I think 17 was Corpus Christi. Just keep that in mind. Sarasota won that game, I think 2-1, and so Corpus Christi stayed on the bottom, but Sarasota got that little bit of a boost.
Yeah.
Coming in, you know, I think that we actually did see mostly the same players there. So you could say that they took this game relatively seriously. I think I shouldn't put it that way. The Rowdies also took this game seriously. While we're on the subject, I mentioned that I asked Coach Dom about the rotation that went on in this one. And he said that something that the staff stressed to the players was that this is a cup game. We don't have another cup competition, unfortunately, this season. We're not going to get into that discussion today, but if we don't start this one well, that's a problem because you only get a couple of games. You don't have, it's a group stage, so it's not one and done like the Open Cup would be, but you can probably expect in the Open Cup at least you're one against the team that's likely to come from a division below. Yeah. Then you have the opportunity to play somebody at your level or maybe higher. So you get 2-3 games that are like really expected. And then after that, it's kind of just as good as you can or can do.
Yeah. By the way, and I think sometimes we're going into these cup games a little blind with this new tournament. Again, to reiterate, it's only the first place team that gets guaranteed a spot into the knockout round.
Right.
And then I think it's the best second place team that gets the final spot, the eighth spot.
I think it's the team that actually, if it's the same as last year, I believe it's the team that is not first place but scored the most goals.
Oh, is that how? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. USL being a little quirky. Because there's seven groups, assuming you need that last team to round it out. So you said most goals, second place team. There you go. So again, to your point, you need to start strong because there's not a lot of wiggle room to bounce back.
Yes. Now, I think that we can start strong against the competition that we have in this little mini group that we've got. It's most of the Florida teams, obviously. Yeah. And then I think, is it Charleston again this year because South Georgia dropped out? But regardless,
it's all the Florida teams. No, it's just all the Florida teams. It's Rowdies, Miami, Naples, Sporting Jacks, and Sarasota Paradise.
That's all. Oh, okay. So Sporting Jacks took over that place that Charleston was in. Georgia. So, yes, moving forward with that, that is our group. We are the Florida group. Yeah. But, so with that in mind, I think that they stressed that, you know, the team did take this seriously, and so did Sarasota. It was good to see the Rowdies adjust like they did. As Coach Casciato pointed out, they had the player. I also asked Hender Long and Rodriguez about the post game about how everything had gone and what their instructions were. And they had been training supposedly during the week for Sarasota to line up a certain way. And obviously they put somebody in between the lines that the Rowdies had not prepared for. So they put somebody closer to that person to adjust things. And that would have been in the center of the midfield, I believe, with Lewis Hilton and Pedro Dolabella, I believe. This was the way that it was presented. And I had not done the full rewatch. I was there, but I did the highlights today. So you can't tell as much from the highlights, but I think that that's where Sarasota, or where we tried to shut down Sarasota. And after that, again, I do think that it was a lot of one-way traffic. It wasn't as crazy in the first half, but the second half, especially, the Rowdies really took it to Sarasota, and they were handling everybody extremely well. I remember from our position, it was easy to see kind of the way that people were lining up on the sides. And I expected to see a lot more. I expected to see a lot more of Evan Conway on the left and of Louis Perez on the right, kind of hugging the wings. But they didn't. They were stepping inside a little bit more, each of them closer to Hender Long and offering an option there, while Ostrom on the left and Rodriguez on the right were moving up And they would offer width, but they wouldn't always offer like the, I'm going to sprint to the end line and try to cut it back into the, try to cut it back into the box. That's not necessarily the way that the Rowdies were trying to get their chances in this game. And I don't think that's what we've seen from the Rowdies in general. They don't necessarily just try to get somebody towards the end line and cut the ball back. Sometimes that happens, obviously. It's not an either or, but it's not the only thing.
It's much more dynamic than in the past, for sure. Yes, for sure. Yes,
exactly, exactly. So Dolabella was helping out on the left side at times. Carson Henderlong would help out on both sides. Lewis Hilton could also step out, but Mateus Oliveira, I think, was the biggest guy for Charlie Ostrom and Evan Conway. And I saw this triangle a couple of different instances in the first half where they were just moving like this around the Sarasota defenders and trying to cause them headaches. It was really good to see. Somebody could be out wide, and it could be any one of those three because they are all capable of playing in that position. Somebody could be tucked more inside because, again, they are capable of doing something similar there. Charlie Ostrom was ostensibly the deepest player, but not always, because Lewis Hilton could slide over and offer a little bit more defense while Nathan Dos Santos stepped up. And Nathan Dos Santos did step up quite a few times to just make sure that he was in the right place at the right time to shut a position down. And he was also capable, of course, we know this from Schaefer and Dos Santos at this point, they're both capable of starting the attacks themselves. They are pretty good with the ball at their feet, and they are pretty good at just keeping their lines of sight open where they know where the options might be and finding the best one. So I think that defensively, once we sorted ourselves out, we were able to keep the offense going the way that we wanted it to previously. And you got to be, like Carlos said, you got to be patient. If it doesn't happen in the first 5-10 minutes, that's okay. Keep building. And the Rowdies trusted themselves. They trusted themselves to their own benefit in the end. Again, my only complaint, I suppose, could possibly be, I think that we had so many chances in the second half that 2-0 honestly is a little flattering for Sarasota.
Yeah.
But are we going to complain that 3 points is 3 points? Maybe down the line, if it comes down to a goal differential to get into first place, but I don't expect that scenario. I would be surprised if the way that this plays out is the Florida group of this, not Jaeger, but Jaeger Cup group, comes down to goal differential. That's just not too likely in the end.
Yeah. Naples is honestly playing apparently good soccer in League One. Miami is kind of a wild card still, right? Jacksonville.
Yeah, we're not sure.
Yeah. Jacksonville is not great. Jacksonville is still bad in the championship. I think there's a genuine argument for Naples being the biggest threat to take the Rowdies is, I don't know about like first place spot, but I think Naples, it could be the second best team in this group as the games play out. They didn't play their first
almost
game.
Almost a hot take, Carlos, but I suppose not yet.
Not yet. For now, it's just an early thing to look out for. Not even a prediction. Not even a hype. Not even, it's not a guess. Miami's okay. Miami's kind of like wishy-washy. We'll see what Naples can do. They didn't play their first open cup, Jägermeister Prinks Cup game. The only other game that took place in this group was between Miami and Jax, and Miami got a 1-0 win away to Jacksonville off of an early goal from Rocha. So Rowdies and Miami are tied for first place on points after one game.
Right.
And Rowdies have the lead on goals. Yeah, I think you hit a lot of the points that I had left to say on this game. It felt like a pretty straightforward game. Like I said, professional win. Should have scored more goals. I don't know if you'll notice this, or maybe I'm misremembering Lewis Hilton's early career with the Rowdies, but it feels like he's gotten more comfortable, at least in the past couple of years, just ripping shots from outside the box. I don't remember him being as ready to pull the trigger, let's say, in his earlier Rowdies career. He had 3 shots on target in this game. And one of them led to a goal, right? The deflection that fell to Carson Underlong. The second one was a beautiful shot that fell to him off of the corner kick that Sarasota's keeper Sutton had to really get up and save to push over the bar. It felt like it was bound for the goal. And the third one was just another, it was a decent shot. It was off of a tough angle, forced Sutton into a save. I'm misremembering it. I'm looking at a clip of it now. Bunch of rowdies in the box. Again, ball kind of falls out to him at the top of the box. He has a clear lane, actually, between him and Sutton, but maybe doesn't really strike it perfectly or get all the power he wants on it, and Sutton's able to track it pretty easily. Point is, I like, to your point, right, about being a little bit more dynamic in the attack. It's been really fun to watch kind of how many different ways we can score a goal, right, and how many different ways we can scare your keeper.
I think that's really good to point out right now.
Yeah. Lewis Hilton's ripping shots that are really dangerous. Carson Henderlong is scoring goals off a deflection and kind of and being in the right spot at the right time. Beautiful finish near post off of that beautiful pass from Mateus Oliveira on the left side. What else? We're also just kind of running right at you when we want. If there's a little bit of space, Cicerone will put his head down. Or we'll find Myers making a run right through your back line. Myers had a chance kind of point blank, but just didn't really strike it maybe as sweet as he would have liked. Kind of shanked it right into the hands of the Sarasota keeper early on in the game as well. It was a Lewis Hilton ball right after Henderlong's first goal. He had another chance to get his second goal tonight just a few minutes after, off of the beautiful through ball from Lewis Hilton right through the Sarasota back lines. I liked how direct we were at times. It was fun to watch. Like I said, felt like we were robbed of some goals, but I think it's also to the credit of the Sarasota keeper, who dealt with a lot of chaos in front of him in this game. It was a fun watch. We looked good. We looked like the much better team, as we should have. Don't know how much you want to take away from this game, like overall, as like where the team is, right? The broader USL landscape. I think we can say pretty comfortably towards the top. But where are we in terms of, like, I don't know, comparing ourselves to Louisville or Charleston, right? Or El Paso out west. Is it El Paso that's undefeated still? No, sorry, not undefeated anymore. They dropped a game last week, right? But Orange County, San Antonio, El Paso, the best teams out west, right? El Paso was the other undefeated team until last week or the week before. I don't know yet, right? We looked really good so far. We've played good teams like Charleston. We drew against them away. This game, though, is not one where I think we can be like, oh, yeah, now for sure. Like, this one convinces me we're the number one team in the league.
Right, yeah.
But it was everything we needed to do. It was fun to watch. And I think the 5,000 – how many fans were there? 5,000 – hold on. The 5,669 fans that were in attendance had a great time, I'm sure, because it was a fun watch. We're dominant through and through. Sutton was a monster. Every time I'm looking at the highlights on another screen here on my right, he makes another save that I forget about. That chance towards the end of the game Cicerone had, by the way, was insane. That was probably one of the wildest like sequences I've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. Shot takes a deflection off the Sarasota keeper, hits the crossbar. Cicerone, like the dog cocky player he is, like just chases it down, throws his head at it, and Sutton gets a hand to it before he can get there. That one's probably the most clear-cut one. I would say, wow, that one should have been 3-0 for sure. Mm-hmm. And maybe Cicerone could have guided it a little bit better. I think he shot it like right at the Sutton keeper, the Sarasota keeper, Sutton. When he had like half the net wide open. So I think that was a little unfortunate, but again, how much can we really complain about this? Not that much, I don't think. If this game finished like 0-0, right, or 1-1, then we'd probably look at all the missed chances and be like, wow, that sucks. And against better teams, if you have these chances, like, you probably got to put a couple more away because you're not going to have as many, right? I'm sure there's things Dominic Casciato is going to want to build on and improve in this game. because he's a coach and his job is to be really critical of his team internally, right? Build them up, figure out what they can improve on. And I think there's probably that's probably the part he wants to improve on this week is your finishing. But other than that, we looked really good. I can't complain. Fun game. Crowd is getting better.
Yeah,
right? We've talked about attendance a little bit and how last year I think kind of hurt us for a bit in terms of drawing fans to the stadium and maybe even affecting the early portion of the year this year in attendance. But filled up a little bit more nicely. Is that how I would say that? I don't know. 56 or so, 100 people. And now it's a few home games in a row now where the supporter section looks pretty packed on TV, which is great. You can tell me if it was just a TV, like.
No, it was definitely looked good.
Yeah, it looked good. Supporter section has been good. Sounds loud enough on TV, right? I think you're getting a lot of like more casual fans in there, which in the moment, if you're, you know, a diehard Ralph's Mob or Skyway Casuals person, like it might be a little annoying to get them to start singing. But in the long run, that builds more sickos like you and me, I think. People going to the games, watching the team win, and being around that packed supporter section. That's a lot of fun. So keep up all the good work, everybody in Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casuals. I think everybody's doing a good job there, too. Team's playing well. Supporters doing well. March to the Match is coming back, too. They're marching through St. Pete again. Let's keep building. That's basically my final thought. I think that's everything I've had to say. I was looking at my notes. Oh, one more thing. I'll ask you this, James. We talked about a little bit of the rotation. He kind of feels comfortable on the ball, right?
Yep.
Luis Perez continue to be just really solid. Can't complain about him. Nothing to like, you know, be like MVP player or anything, but like just continuing to be really solid. Hunter Long, obviously, 2 goals, impressive. Maybe arguing for more minutes. I wanted to ask you, though, about the other player who was rotated in here, Alex Rodriguez, because this is a guy who we've heard about on and off, right? Academy kid we brought onto this team and stuck around from last year, right? My understanding was that he was an attacking player, that he would be a winger, maybe sometimes a striker. I didn't know he could play fullback. We talked a little bit about him, seeing him in that role in preseason, right? So we were kind of maybe thinking it could happen if he does get on the field. Do you have any notes on his performance? You want to talk a little bit about Alex Rodriguez at all before we move on? Because I just think it's cool that he got a start after, you know, his time with the Rowdies. I don't remember if he's gotten a start before last season. He's appeared on and off. He had 7 appearances last season, according to Fob Mob. This is the first one of this season. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I mentioned that I spoke with Alex Rodriguez in the post game, and I asked him specifically if he was more so getting used to playing as a defender, because I did see him in the preseason as a fullback, and then obviously in this game as well. He said that this was not something that he was used to, so this has been a transition for him over the course of this preseason and now getting into the season proper.
Yeah,
fair enough. But yeah, I do think he did well. His first duty as a fullback here, you have to be defensively minded. This is not a wingback position where there's going to presumably be someone who is closer to the position where you would need to be defensively. So, you know, that is something that people have to keep in mind when they're working in different positions. A fullback is a defender first. A wingback is somebody who is defensively minded, but you are also very much tasked with getting into the attack.
Yeah.
So I mentioned on the left side, I had seen the triangle kind of build up between Mateus, Evan Conway, and Charlie Ostrom. And on the right side, I think that we saw that as well. Obviously out there, it was different people. It was Luis Perez, it was Alex Rodriguez. And then at times, I think you had Pedro Dolabella or Lewis Hilton help out, but also you had the central attacking midfielder or Carson Henderlong kind of stepped into those roles too. So Alex Rodriguez and Charlie Ostrom are very interesting to watch in these games. And if that's Ostrom or Cruz or Akoff, who came on in the second half, all of these guys, they have the capability and the license to get themselves up to that end line, get the cross in kind of deal. But again, the Rowdies aren't looking for that first and foremost. And I don't even think that's, I think that they would prefer to do something before that. And then if that is the option that they're left with, obviously they can go ahead and do it. No. But Rodriguez being a more attacking player, I think to start, this is where he has to determine when he is supposed to be making those runs. And those runs would be on the outside as opposed to helping out with this buildup in these little pockets outside the top of the box for the opposition. So, yeah, it was good to see. And I think that he showed a level of maturity in terms of making those decisions. Defensively, you know, it was Sarasota, so you gotta kind of take the good with the bad. And I don't mean the bad, like I don't honestly remember too many instances of him being caught out of position, but in this case, I would say Sarasota might not have been the best team to do that either, right? Yeah, Sarasota might just not have the personnel at all times to put Alex Rodriguez in a position where he's like, oh, I'm out of where I need to be. Yeah, this isn't good. Yeah. So maybe with better opposition, we might see something like that. But yeah, I still think that he acquitted himself well. And you know, in the post game, he was honestly just very eager to be in that position. And he talked about how much he's grown in the past couple of months playing with the Rowdies, and especially the first team, obviously. So more appearances for Alex Rodriguez. That's my demand. I'm banging on my desk, but it's particle board, so I don't want to do that.
Well, hopefully the opponent we're playing this weekend, who is not in a great spot, hopefully we're in a spot where we're like 3-0 up. We can bring him in last 20 minutes or something. Because I'd like to see him more, see what he has to offer against maybe some better teams too. Yeah, you got up the field. He's part of at least one really good chance I can remember where he squared it to the middle of the box. He looked good. I just wanted to get the James Knowles take on A-Rod as we continue to see what he has to offer, his potential for this team. Okay, James, that's this Rowdies game against Sarasota. First competitive edition of whatever you want to call this game. I look forward to next year when we play them down there in Sarasota. I think that'll be a really good time. I think it should be something that folks mark in their calendars when the schedule does drop for the 2027 season. There's no reason why we wouldn't be able to go down there and absolutely take over that stadium. I think how many, it's like a 3,000 person stadium, something like that, James, right?
Yeah. I don't know offhand.
Something like that. But I envision a world where, if I have the mental image of their stadium in my head correct, where we can take over like a whole stand and probably some, right? There's a ton of Skyway Casuals folks from down there, obviously, in the area. James, you're relatively close by.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's a large number of Rowdies fans that would make the quick drive over from St. Pete and Tampa to Sarasota. Or Lakewood Ranch, right? That would be fun, right? Like I like to see away games where you can really take over a stadium. And I think this is the first opportunity we've had maybe since like VSI Tampa Bay existed in 2013, right? Where there's a professional team like that close to really take a stadium over. And back then, I think Rowdies were in a different place in 2013, right? It's not the team it is now with like kind of the decade of fan support now. Like, this is a game we should mark on our calendar for next year and kind of really make it something memorable. Get down there, just absolutely take over, competitive game, have a good time. And then maybe you have something there. I don't know. Maybe there's something there with this matchup with Sarasota. I don't think there is yet, right? But the proximity makes it a little bit fun for a takeover next year. So let's make it happen. Keep it in the back of your mind for next year, folks. James, anything else on this game?
I think that we can hop into our man of the match.
Great. I think I didn't tell you, but I'm looking at your notes, and I think we have the same person. So can I speak for both of us when I drop this name?
Go for it.
The easy pick is Carson Henderlong. Two goals, guy who hasn't gotten a start with this team yet. He's been stuck behind MD Myers, who came back from injury, stuck behind Pedro Dolabella, even, who was a striker for that first game of the year. And Carson has been somebody I've really enjoyed keeping an eye on I'm glad that the hype was real and valid, because he showed us why he deserves more minutes on this team. Two goals, could have had a hat trick. Honestly, he had at least one more really, really good chance with a little bit more of a clinical finish there. He could have put that one away in the corner. But again, Sutton had a great game, the Sarasota keeper. So credit to him. Henderlong, yeah, just in the right spot at the right times. Very striker mentality, dropped back. He's really athletic for his size too. He's like a lanky guy, but also pretty built too. He's going to continue to be a problem when he gets on the field. And I think you have a really, really fun pair you can rotate between Myers and Henderlong going forward. I think he's earned a little bit more than like the stoppage time minutes, right? Let's see if we can work him in for some, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, give him a little bit more of an opportunity in these league games to be a serious, serious impact player. Because I think he showed he can. So Henderlong, for sure. Easy man of the match for me. Great way to really argue and advocate for yourself in this game.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Two goals, two men of the match awards. I think that kind of writes itself there. So yeah. Let's move on to our next segment. But before we do, liking and subscribing is free. If you think you might need some new threads, though, you can help our podcast a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com, checking out all the designs that we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description, and you can use the promo code COYR for 10% off of your order. In fact, I might be checking out the shop myself so that I can get some for some Sun games coming up, some Rowdies games coming up. Maybe a Rowdies game away from home even is kind of what I'm thinking. So, yeah, if you would like to do that, please help us out. And as I said, COYR, 10% off. I think that you'll find something you like.
There's good stuff. Carlos, there's good stuff.
Let's get into our preview. This Saturday at Al Lang, the Rowdies host Indy 11 at 7:30. If you do not already have your tickets, can we get yourselves tickets? Can we get other people tickets? I really liked how full the stadium looked this past weekend, but also we can still do better. We can
definitely be more full. Yeah.
So let's try and keep this going. Let's get this momentum up a little bit here. The Rowdies had a lot of youth groups at this game, and it looked great. You know, I hope the kids all had a good time. Get them out. Get everyone else's family out. Let's pyramid scheme this and get some tickets out for the Rowdies. Let's get some more people in these seats.
Yeah.
So to talk about actually the game coming up in Indy 11, we'll move into that now. Indy are in a bit of mixed form. It's kind of weird to know exactly where they are.
Yeah, right.
For instance, they just lost at home to Union Omaha. And I mean, to be fair, you know, they probably did also do a lot of rotation. And maybe they were trying to give their regular starters a little bit more rest. But at the same time, it is Union Omaha, and it is also Union Omaha without all the players that we took from them. So just kind of interesting from Indy 11. And it's not the first time
they lost to Union Omaha this season, right? Like it's weird. They lost to Union Omaha in March 31st on the Open Cup too, at home, same scoreline. Weird.
That's very, very close to unheard of is what I'll say, because how frequently do lower division teams play upper division teams in the U.S.? It's probably one or two games a year per club, and now Indy have dropped it twice to the exact same team. So that's just weird. But yeah, anyway, they are seventh overall in the East with 9 points from their games. And, not doing too poorly, at least in the league play. But again, there are these weird, weird matches that they have sometimes at home. Their likely lineup includes Eric Dick in net. That is his name. They're not calling him anything there. Yeah. And their likely defensive unit has Hayden White, Anthony Herbert, Paco Craig, and Aiden Quinn across the back. That is what they have used for the last two league games. So I'm going with that in this specific game for the Rowdies. Cam Lindley is almost certain to be their central defensive midfielder behind Bruno Rondon, Josh O'Brien, Jack Blake, who is a former Rowdy, and Loic Messonvi. Former midfielder turned striker Nobly Okello is starting up top for them. That makes sense. He's like 6'5". Kind of surprised he hasn't played this role before, but there you go. That's what they got. And Bruno Rondon, their winger, has 3 goals. Jack Blake has 2. Lindley has 2 assists so far, and both the big chances and little chances created, I guess. those two categories are dominated by Bruno Rendon, Aiden Quinn, and Cam Lindley. So again, Bruno Rendon, wide out right, Aiden Quinn, wide out left, and Cam Lindley, as you could think of it, the quarterback in the center of the midfield. Interesting that he is also a big number guy for big and little chances created for Indy 11. But I'm assuming, based on this, obviously, that most of their chances are going to come out from out wide. And that also makes sense with the players involved. If anybody remembers Aiden Quinn, he has been a regular player across the USL, especially for Indy. And he will be a very good player on this team. I'm assuming that he has dropped back to a left back position because he's left footed. And obviously, he has the experience, the competence to play in this position for them. Bruno Rendon will be your probably stereotypical tricky, speedy winger. And I would put him in that category. Cam Lindley, though, another guy who's been around the USL for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see that they don't necessarily have just one point of attack. The Rowdies are also cultivating something like that, you could say. Now, Indy just haven't been, I think, as good, obviously, in terms of points, but these other games, too, like we said, they have, I don't know if it's a mentality thing. You know, I haven't seen as much Indy 11 as, let's say, the Indy 11 fans, but
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting that there is some possible mentality issue with them. Now, I would say if you're going to play the Rowdies, you're not going to have that mentality issue because you're not going to play down, so to speak, like you would against a USL League One team. In fact, most teams obviously are going to play up when they are playing a team that is above them in the standings. So if there is a mentality issue, potentially, I don't know that that will play a role in this specific game, but just something to keep in mind. They're up and down, very up and down.
Yeah. There's a lot of big names in terms of the USL landscape on this team. So it's not a team you want to take lightly, right? You're right. I haven't seen a lot of Indy 11 soccer, right? We're not, you know, keeping up with this team all that closely. But there's enough big names on this team to where you want to be cautious, right?
Yes.
Aiden Quinn's been playing consistent USL soccer since 2014. Did you know that? Like, he's been around forever.
Yeah.
By the way, started his USL career in Orlando City down the road, down the I-4. Since then, Louisville City stuck with the purple theme. Cincinnati, when they were still in U.S. When did Cincinnati go MLS?
I feel like that was 17, 18.
He was there in 2017. So I think I want to say that was still USL for them, but I could be wrong.
That was still USL for sure.
Yeah. Orange County for 3 years, Phoenix for 2 years, Indy now for 4 years. The guy's seen the USL in every stage of its existence, it feels like. And he's good. I mean, it's funny when you look at a player's kind of FOT mob profile, right? It has the team, appearances, goals, assists, and then their average FOT mob rating across all their appearances that year. There's not many players when you click on their profile that have the number, like the FOT mob rating number, as consistently green as Aiden Quinn.
Right.
This year averaging 7.1, last year 7.2, 7.1, 7.4, 0.6, 0.7, 0.3, 0.2, all sevens, right? Green. The guy is still good at his age. He still has a lot of soccer left to give. He's 34. And maybe we would have said that could be a factor to keep an eye out for if it wasn't for Dion Acuff playing his butt off every time we see him on the field. And he's 34 too, right? So guys, they got plenty of soccer left to play.
Yeah.
Cam Lindley feels like he should be older than he is. I mean, he's only 28, but it feels like I've heard that name for quite a while now in this at this level. And again, you mentioned Jack Blake, who has been really, really good for Indy in this time over there. Paco Craig, who's been really, really good in USL. Eric Dick, who has been a name that I remember just because of his name, but I can't say he's been really, really good or really, really bad. I'm sure
he is a USL championship final winner last year with Pittsburgh.
That is true. That is true. Yeah, that is true. He had a great season with them in that playoff where they literally scored one goal, I think, was it? throughout the playoffs, or they won one game. Every game they tied in the playoffs.
Yes.
Right. And won in penalties. Regardless.
Hopefully we don't need to go. Hopefully we don't need to worry about that in this one.
Yeah. Regardless. My wild card is this guy who you mentioned, Noble Okello, their striker. Can't say it's someone I recognize all that much. The striker who has 2 goals in the year already. We haven't played a lot of like really, really big physical strikers yet. USL is kind of more of a league where we see a lot of pace, a lot of speed, right? A lot of guys making runs. This is a game where I would probably have been, if he was available, been like, okay, this is probably a Leland Archer game. If we're rotating our center backs, right, and this is kind of their main striker, you probably want to counter some size with some size, right? This will probably be the only thing I'm a little concerned about, is because our center backs are not that big, right? We're gonna have to be a little bit careful on set pieces, on those crosses that I'm sure they're gonna whip in, because like you mentioned, they're probably gonna play from out wide quite a bit. So I just think we'll have to be careful and be sure to mark this Okello guy really, really closely, because you mentioned he's 6'5". That's enough to scare me a little bit. Yes. Because of kind of how our back line is built physically, right? Schaefer will have to be on top of him pretty closely, I think, to neutralize any sort of aerial attack. Other than that, I feel like this is a game where I'm generally comfortable. We'll just have to look out for that one or two good chance that any team is generally going to have at this level. I don't think Indy's going to create a ton. I feel like we're really solid, especially at home. I feel like we learned from our mistakes against who was it? Who do we tie to from the West Coast? Why am I blanking? Was it Oakland?
Oh, Oakland, yeah.
Oakland, right? Learn from our mistakes from that game, hopefully from at home, and tighten up a little bit. I think we should be okay. We'll see.
Should we hop into our predictions now?
Let's do it. All right. You are. James, you want to start us off?
I will go through the predictions of everyone who is not physically present on this podcast, and then we will jump into our own. But Connor, our writer, has predicted a 2-0 win. Parker, our writer, has predicted a 3-1 win. Eureka, who, as I previously mentioned, seems to have found a crystal ball, says a 2-1 win. So if you want to place your own bets, there you go.
2-1, yeah.
I am going with a win as well, and I am going to jump on the 2-0 bandwagon. I think that we have what it takes to keep them out, and I think that we have also what it takes to get at least 2 goals in this one, because Indy is maybe not the best defensively, but you know, if we worry about Noble Okello, I think that we can shut down the balls into him enough to keep it as at 2-0. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. 2-0 feels like a safe guess here. For the sake of differentiating myself a little bit, I'm going to go with a 3-0 win, which was my prediction for the game against Sarasota as well. And obviously that didn't work out. But I think we're going to get more consistency in this game. We'll have our attack kind of firing in all cylinders again. It feels like this could be a game we win pretty comfortably. I'm just worried about that. You know, one or two counterattacks that Indy's probably going to put together really nicely. And you know, like I said, put Brian Schaefer on Okello really close, and I think we won't have a problem. But other than that, I feel pretty good about this game. So let's keep building momentum. Buy your tickets. Get out there. Let's break the 6,000 attendance figure. Get back to that number as a consistent benchmark for the crowd. Want to see Ali in full. And keep up the good work in the supporter section. It's fun. It's good to watch. It sounds loud on TV. It's great. By the way, Lawrence Wyke is one game away from 100 appearances with the Rowdies. Maybe thought it would happen this past weekend, but he still wasn't around, still dealing with some sort of light injury. So just keep an eye out for that. This could be the game maybe where he comes back and makes a sub appearance or something, or maybe even gets a start if he's healthy, who knows, and makes his triple-digit appearance mark for the Rowdies.
Keep an eye out for that. I really do hope that, you know, injuries obviously don't play a role in keeping anybody out. That's just not ideal for anybody. I think that will do it. Carlos, do we have anything else before we get everybody out of here?
No, I'm all set, James. I'm all set.
All right. Well, with that in mind, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We always appreciate when you do, and we will get you out of here now by saying tune in to us, but also follow us on RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, the other one that I'm forgetting, Threads, and at RBLR Sports. I'm mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can reach out to Carlos
at CarlosGPA10 on Twitter.
Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube where you can see our lovely faces. Or if you just want to listen, that's not a problem. We are on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple, and Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. For a good win in the bag, and hopefully another one coming up this weekend, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.
Great job. Enjoy the rest of your birthday with Faith. Have a great night.
We'll do. We'll do. Good pod. Right. Good win. And let's go kill Indy.
Love it.
Any sun conflicts this weekend too? Or are we both going to be there?
I think the Sun are on the road.
Yeah, I will be at the Rowdies game.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. I'll see you guys.
All right. Cheers, guys. Bye.
Have a good night.